I have a son. He was coming home from college one morning, and God spoke to him and told him, said, Tim, I have trained your dad to be a spiritual leader and a spiritual teacher of my people. He said, now I'm going to train you, and I have been training you how to be a physical teacher of people. So he said, you're going to have a facility where you can teach people how to take care of their physical bodies, and your dad is going to train people how to take care of their spiritual bodies. Well, when Tim walked in that morning, he was white as a sheet. Dad, God came in the car with me this morning. It really shakes your world that God is really there and he's that close. We started looking for a piece of land and a building. I think about how we as Christians, as sons and daughters of God, don't realize the sonship. I have sonship with God. So when I ask my Heavenly Father for something, he has no problem answering me if we've done everything he says, right? So just like your child, when they come to you and ask you for something, when Tim came to me and told me what the Lord had told him, I had no problem taking all of the money that I had investments, buying the land, paying for the building and the land and all that equipment that it took to go inside of Tim's building. I was broke. I'd used it all, every bit of it. And so then I thought, well, okay, now then, like what we're going to talk about today in Romans 4, what living by faith can bring. Now then, I'm out of money. But by this time, I already was well founded in the Word of God. And I had seen God do many awesome things. So when I got through with Tim's building, I had a gravel parking lot out in front. And I thought, you know, this is not going to be very conducive to business. I need a concrete parking lot. So I said, Lord, you said anything I believe you for in faith, I can have. If I have faith, nothing shall be impossible with me. And so I said, okay, Lord, I'm out of money. I have enough money to buy the steel, but I don't have enough money to buy steel and the concrete. So we're going to go out there. We're going to put a 20 by 20 section up. We're going to put the steel in it. And then I'm going to believe by faith, you're going to bring me the concrete to put in that parking lot. I went out there and we're forming up and we're putting the steel in it. And a guy comes by and he says, sir, where are you going to get the concrete to pour your parking lot? I said, I'm not going to buy it. I'm going to get it for free. He said, you're going to what? I said, yeah. He said, where are you going to get it for free? I said, that I don't know. Only God knows that. But I said, I am a man of faith. And God told me in his word that if I would believe him, nothing shall be impossible with me. So I'm going to pour the parking lot here, and I'm only going to furnish the steel to put in it, and somebody else is going to furnish me the concrete. Now, I don't know. Somebody may drive by and say, oh, you need all this, so I'll just give you $150,000 extra to pour the concrete. Or I said, I don't know how they're going to do it, but I know it's going to happen. He said, I never seen anybody like you. I said, okay. But I said, I'm a man of faith. He said, well, I tell you, I happen to be the manager for Lattimore Concrete. And he said, we have lots of overage concrete. You know, we send out jobs and they come back. Sometimes they got a half a truck. Sometimes they got a whole truck. I found out that one time they had 4.5 full trucks. I got 4.5 full truck, $4,500 worth of concrete free in one day while I was pouring that parking lot. So he said, if you're here, we can just call you and you'll be ready. He said, we can send a truck over because when it comes back, we got to get it off. I said, no problem. I can do that. And so we started and we poured Tim's entire parking lot with free concrete. I don't even know how many hundred yards of concrete we poured, but it was all free. Now then, if you're a man of faith, what can you do? Anything. Nothing is impossible with you. By faith. And this is why we miss our healing and everything. We don't realize that we have to receive our healing by faith. Just like we're going to talk about starting in Romans 4 today, and we'll use the NLT. By faith, we are supposed to be children, sons of God, walking by total faith in our God. We're not supposed to be looking for anyone else. Now, I realize everybody is not in the same place with their faith. And I realize I've been walking in faith a lot longer than a lot of people. He promised me if I walk in faith and obey what he says, I can ask him for anything and he will do it for me. Well, he means that for you and me both. But now then, let's go a little further into Romans chapter 4, starting with verse 1. It says, Abraham was humanly speaking, the founder of our Jewish nation. What were his experiences concerning this question of being saved by faith? Was it because of his good deeds that God accepted him? If so, he would have had something to boast about. But from God's point of view, Abraham had no basis at all for pride. For the scriptures tell us, Abraham believed God, so God declared him to be righteous. He believed God, and that's all he had to do. When people work, their wages are not a gift. Workers earn what they deserve. Now see, that's the thing about what we get here from God. There's no way we can work for what we've got. Now there is some people trying to work for what they've got, and it's not working for them. But people are declared righteous because of their faith and not because of their work. How does faith come? By hearing the Word of God, right? Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you're not in the book, if you're not reading the Word of God, you will never develop faith. Just like Romans 10:8-9 says, but what does it say? The word is near you, is even in your mouth and in your heart. The word of faith that we preach, that if you will confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart the Father raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the way you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But you have to really do that by faith. Now what if you just say it and you didn't really mean it? It didn't work. You have to really believe it. Because I ask people all the time, are you saved? Or I might ask them the question, are you going to heaven when you die? And you know what so many people tell me? I hope so. If they say, I hope so, they are not saved. You've got to have received this promise by faith. And see, this same thing is why people can't get their healing. When they come and we pray for them, and they supposedly repent of all sins, and they haven't had enough of the word in them yet, they haven't had these rhemas that Dave was talking about this morning. You've just been exposed to a little of the logos, but it has not become revelation to you that this book means what it says. And so when I pray for you after you've been repenting of your sins, I said, now do you believe you're healed? Well, I don't know. I'm going to the doctor on Thursday, and if he says I'm okay, then I'll be healed. Well, you ain't going to be healed. That ain't faith. That does not work. And that's why so many people cannot get healed. I mean, I just stand in awe at the people that I talk to on the phone, and I spend hours sometimes with them teaching a whole healing school on the phone, and I'm maybe 2 hours or 3 hours, and it's amazing you have to do this to build people's faith. Sometimes you can get them healed if you spend 2 or 3 or 4 hours with them. But let's say you're only going to spend 30 minutes with them. You don't get their faith built up unless they already have been trained. And so they say, well, I'm okay now. All I will do, I will repent of my sin. You pray for me, and I know I'm healed. I said, well, great. Praise God. This is the kind of faith that God's looking for. So I pray for them. I said, now it's done. All you need to do is worship and praise God. I love that. But he does it by faith. He accepts your faith. Now, you will notice that if you happen to have been around me any time, you would never guarantee, you never heard me say, oh, I'm so worried that my hand's not going to heal up. I'm so worried that I got to keep it clean or I'm going to get it infected. No, I don't talk like that. I don't believe that at all. I'm a man that believes in faith. That's the kind of God he is. He says, King David spoke of this, describing the happiness of an undeserving sinner who is declared to be righteous. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Now, when we ask God to forgive us, when we come to him because of this awesome grace that he has, if we come to the Lord and say, Lord, I have been a murdering, thieving, whatever. Let's say you were a Muslim that was a terrorist, you know, and you'd killed multitudes of people, and you thought you were serving the right God. And then somebody told you about Jesus Christ and his love, and you realize that you're not serving the right God, you're serving the wrong God. And if you come to Jesus and ask him to forgive you of all those sins, maybe you may have killed a couple of hundred people serving Allah. See, that murderer has no eternal life in him or her. But when you ask Jesus to forgive you, if you had been a murdering person, I'm not just talking about a Muslim, I'm talking about anybody, I don't care who you are, red, yellow, black, or white, if you had been that wicked person, when you come to Jesus and you really had been taught that he will forgive you and come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior, when you ask him to forgive you and be your Lord and Savior by faith, does he ever turn one down? No, he never does turn a single person down. He always accepts them, and he comes into their heart, and they become a new creature. Now then, a lot of people get deceived by this stuff about the new creature. Because if you were 25 pounds overweight when you got saved, you were probably still 25 pounds overweight. If you had a mole on your cheek when you got saved, you probably still had it, right? If you had a cavity in a tooth, you probably still had it. Somebody said, well, I don't get this. If I was made supposed to be, all things are become new, then nothing became new. Oh, yeah, it did. The heart. This is a spiritual thing. The heart that's in there, God moved into your heart by the Holy Spirit, and he took his little chip hammer and hammer, and he started cutting away the sin that was in your heart. And your heart, your spirit man, became brand new. Like, I'll tell you a story. There was a preacher, I know this guy personally, and one day he was preaching in a church, and he was telling everybody, if you'll come down and make Jesus Lord of your life, he'll change you, and he loves you, and he wants you to become a Christian. Well, this girl comes down, and she says, Pastor, are you telling me that if I accept Jesus, he will accept me? And he said, a guarantee. She said, but you don't know what I do. He said, it doesn't make any difference what you do. She said, but I'm a strip dancer. And he said, that's okay. You know, God will accept you. And she said, well, but I love being a strip dancer. So obviously, you're talking about righteousness and holiness, and this doesn't fit in there. And so if I become a Christian, then I can't be a strip dancer. Oh, he said, oh, no problem. He said, if you want to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, I guarantee you can go do all the strip dancing you want to. She said, what? He said, sure. No problem. See, he knew something she didn't know about becoming new. So she said, you mean if I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I can still be a strip dancer and work in the clubs? He says, you can do anything you want to do after you become a Christian. She said, well, then I want to accept this Jesus. I love what you've taught today about Jesus. So she accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior, and she became a new creature in Christ. And so guess what he was in there doing with her heart? He's cutting away that old stuff, right? So the next Sunday when she come back to church, he walked up to him. She said, you're pretty sneaky. He says, what do you mean? She said, you were right. I could do all the strip dancing I want to. But she said, I don't want to do it no more.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop here for today, but we will return on our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Faith is the Key, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.